Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week we did Mindhunters, made in 2004. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Here's the description of Mindhunters, made in 2004. Trainees in an FBI's psychological profiling program must put their training into practice when they discover a killer in the midst. Okay, I remember this movie because of one person. Unfortunately, I've been moving, so I didn't get a chance to see it. But the one person who I remember in this movie was Johnny Lee Miller, Mr. Crash Override himself.
Wow, that's who you remember?
Use his real name, Zero Cool.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yes, that's the reason I remember it, because honestly, I loved Hackers because it's ridiculously over the top. And it has another one of my favorite character actors being Matthew Lillard. But I remember thinking this movie was ridiculous. So.
You know, it's been so long since I've seen LL Cool J act in any screen, if you want to. We're going to use the act word loosely. I forgot how bad he is.
He's in NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles still,
isn't he?
He
is, but I mean, just how...
Next to Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's still going. But I just forgot how bad of an actor he is.
What,
he
you
really
mean,
is bad.
You mean Deep Blue Sea didn't really put that exclamation mark on it for you?
Look, didn't he do the whatever that Blood Orchid one was too? Jeez, I'm trying to remember the name of that movie.
Blood Orchid?
It was like one of the...
Oh, you're talking about the Anaconda movies?
Yeah. Wasn't he in that one,
Yeah,
too?
I think he was. I think he was in
He was in that.
He was in like the Blood Orchid Anaconda. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, I mean, so in any movie he's in, he stands out to me just because he's not a good actor. I mean, Ice-T is better than you, dude.
What you know what's funny is the fact that Ice-T, when I see him in a role, I'm not really thinking about a rapper. Every time I see LL Cool J, I'm thinking, hey, there's an 80s rapper who couldn't really transition into the 90s well, or, you know, such.
Come on, guys. You didn't like him in SWAT. Come on.
So I like that movie, but I don't like it because it's good. I like it because it's just a stupid, cheesy action movie. It's as close as you can get to the 80s type of movies because it's mindless.
Yeah.
You can watch that movie stoned off your ass or drunk off your ass and still follow what little plot there is in that movie.
Basically.
It's the perfect movie.
Well,
but you know, I mean,
I'll tell you what, I would start by apologizing for anybody who actually fucking watched this movie.
I did.
But I'll tell you what, the original one that I was gonna pick was far worse.
He does have a point there. You know, but I still gotta throw this out there. They really did have three of some of my favorite actors. They're not in like the top 10 or top 20. Well, I mean, Val Kilmer, I would give him top 20, maybe.
And Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, I'd say low teens, maybe 18 or 19. Val Kilmer's maybe 11 or 12. But they also have...
Christian Slater's my boy.
Clifton Collins. I do enjoy some of his roles. This is not one of them. Just putting that out there. I mean, you tried to commit to a chair, but you really didn't. I mean... Work on your arm strength. I mean, you should be able to hold yourself up there for at least an hour.
Oh, I knew this chick looked familiar. Patricia Velasquez.
Yeah.
She's from The Mummy. It's like, why do I know her? She was, she wasn't next to a moon, was she?
She was. No, I don't think she was.
Because she was.
Was she?
Yes. Yeah, she was the mummy. This was Brendan Fraser's mummy. She was Brendan Fraser's mummy's love interest.
Yeah, that's
Nuxuna Moon or whatever. Nuxuna
Moon. Yeah. I was thinking of the new mummy. I'm like, no, she wasn't. No, yeah, right. The Brendan Fraser one.
Can we
just
pass a rule that mummy doesn't exist?
You mean the 50-year-old lesbian movie?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's Tom Cruise. That's who I'm referring to. He looks like a 50-year-old lesbian
I'm
now.
Totally okay of just saying, okay, that one didn't exist. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, now that I think about it, was better than that movie. Dude, which is basically what that movie was doing.
The Sean Connery that shall not be named.
That's the movie that
I'd
made
rather
Sean
have
Connery.
The Rock or Dragonheart.
Well, that's
God
the movie
damn.
That made Sean Connery quit acting. He that's literally true. Hasn't done any other movie since then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Anyways.
So
what
do you,
this flick
Deuces.
Was a pretty awful movie. I mean, it was the major problems was probably over direction. You know what I mean? The director thought he was making a super cool movie and didn't realize what a B movie this was.
Okay.
And then you kill off the most legitimate actor immediately.
Who was that?
Christian Slater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, because he's the only one.
They froze him to death and broke him apart.
I'd say Val Kilmer is actually a pretty good actor, but up until
but he was barely in it also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, like, in 2004, though, he didn't really do anything in the latter part of the 90s.
Wasn't he definitely Batman by that time?
That was 96, something along
no,
that ends. 94,
95? 90. No, it was older than that.
Because that was right.
Yeah, 95. Yeah, Batman Forever, 95. All right. I thought it was later.
So he didn't really do anything after that, so I'm not really surprised.
But, I mean, he still was kind of... This was towards... Well, I guess, yeah, this was kind of the downward spiral of his career.
I would say he's still famous. His biggest...
Oh, yeah, he's still famous. There's still, like, a gaggle of hens following him. So
I'm a Val Kilmer fan, so I really like the movie Real
Jesus. Yeah,
I didn't like him in The Traveler, though. That was just one that shall not be named. That's really fat, ugly Val Kilmer that, I mean, see, the Saint's better than that.
I'm thinking Doc Holliday is one of my
favorite.
Yeah,
Doc Holliday. Did you guys ever see The Bad Lieutenant?
Oh, God.
With Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
That's not nice.
I'd have to read the description.
That's not nice, Ryan.
That was a good one.
So what do you give this? What's your rating on this, Ryan?
You know what? Tell you what, I initially picking it was thinking, okay, well, this will be a decent three. I mean, it's kind of a cheesy ass movie, and you get to see Johnny Lee Miller throw on the worst accent of all time.
Did he fake an American accent?
Yeah, I think he was going for Southern.
Okay,
based off of a handful of words, but it was just abysmal.
See, because the dude's British, so I'm gonna have to rewatch this movie.
Oh gosh, it's awful. But it immediately jumps to a 2.5 just for having the very worst line ever in a movie around this era.
Wait, hold on. So was it worse than Fast and Furious? So because when you say worst line, my worst line of all time is "I live my life a quarter mile at a time." Was in the very first Fast and Furious movie.
Let me go ahead and respectfully submit. I guess we know what his weakness is: bullets.
that's definitely, God. That's up there with on Rambo 2 when he comes back from the Vietnam thing. He has this long speech of what he wants. So yeah, that's definitely up there in bad cinematic lines. We can definitely enter that in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Yeah, it was, and you know, LL Cool J delivering that shit too was of course classic. Well, I'm sure at the time they thought like, oh, this is gonna be a great line.
See,
this
if he
on the movie posters.
If he delivered it for like Grissom and CSI, it would have been great. But LL Cool J. Ugh.
So my only reason for giving this movie a 2 is because if I look at it from a comical standpoint, I would be okay with the FBI doing battle royale style like this. You know, you just weed out the ones who aren't going to make it, and you get one coming out victorious. That's the only
right.
thing. All so of a sudden that's all
that's,
I would be good
And okay. that's the recruiting process for the FBI.
Yeah, I would be down with that. FBI, CIA, you know, like you guys go get trapped on an island. If you guys want to make it an imaginary Croatoan, you freaking morons for bringing that into the film.
The what?
I forgot you didn't.
Roanoke Island.
Yeah.
Croatoan.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I couldn't understand what James said. So
it's a Croatoan. So that's what. Anyway. Oh, my God. Stupid, idiotic to bring that up in the film. It had nothing to do with it. Dear God. Anyways. But trap him on an island and have one survivor. You know that guy's going to be a badass agent. You know? At least
right.
a sneaky
yeah,
bastard.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, it's yeah, I'm good with that. That's
but
what can,
you know
do.
What, and that's why like it's almost this really sort of low rent. If you're kind of young when you watch it, it might be a little kind of fun, you know, a little bit of a mystery. But if you're paying attention, you're kind of picking out the important things anyway.
Yeah.
A couple of little fun moments. Of the concept, I'll bet you anything, this movie looked great on paper.
Oh, I guarantee.
You know, just
it did,
conceptually, but... it looked awesome. It was a great idea, but then you kill off Christian Slater. A lot of the traps and things like that are just like, okay, well, literally you're counting on somebody's foot placement, you know, being exact.
The freaking arrow trap.
Yeah, the arrow trap, the frozen egg thing, like really, really things like, okay, yeah, you're profiling them and that's the counter profile deal, but right down to where they're going to walk. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Take the time and watch this.
That's
one.
Funny. Now that I remember it, I think I got 30 minutes into this movie and turned it off back in the day. So now I know why I never finished
this
movie.
This is back in the day when Ryan and I would just be like, we have a principle of finishing this shit. We're to the point where just like, I'm too old for this shit.
You see, I was at that at like, what, a decade plus ago? It's like, yeah, I don't want to watch this. Click.
Well, I mean,
hey, a trauma film's on. Let's watch that.
Yeah.
At least this is entertaining. I know it's supposed to be bad.
Well, to me, it all started with the domino thing. Oh. To me, if
you're not
I
talking about the movie, right?
You know,
I hope.
No.
Come on,
we're on a bad movie kick. You know,
Keira Knightley can't be a badass.
But with the domino thing, if I'm in a supposed murder scene and we're looking around for clues and whatnot, is it just me or am I going to reach in front of where those dominoes are and kind of stop that and then figure out where it goes first?
Now, I would.
Like, we're all just kind of standing there watching it like, ooh,
this
I wonder if high school kids set this up.
I always love scenes like that. They're just like, huh, I wonder what that does. Huh? It's like watching a horror movie and that the chick in high heels always runs up the stairs.
Yeah, you know, it's like, why would you go the way that there's no exits? Why? I mean, you have no exit point up there except for jumping off a two-story building.
It does remind me there
was
an
escape ladder up there?
I wish I remember what it was. There's a YouTube channel with an African-American lady, and she was talking about white people in horror movies, and she said, white people are stupid. Black person would just get their ass out of there. It's like, I actually kind of agree with that. Creepy.
She's
dude?
Watched scary
what?
Movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh, I'll tell you what. On that note, anybody who hasn't seen it, go watch the movie called Get Out.
That's on my list.
Directed by Jordan Peele from Key and Peele. Not a comedy, not a horror movie, but very, very good.
I'm. It's funny that I was looking at these actors, and there's a guy. I can't say his life. Is it Ian? E-I-O-N? Bailey. He was in Band of Brothers, Ray Donovan, Fight Club. So there is some actors that actually went on to do some decent things. But
well, that's why I was throwing up Clifton Collins. Like, he's actually got a decent resume if you actually look him up. I mean, he's not one of the A-list actors, but he's definitely not B-list.
He's definitely a guy that you recognize from a bunch of different things. This was a really sort of a weak role, but everyone was playing kind of a weak role.
Well, the question is,
I mean, he didn't play the pest, so I mean, how bad could he be?
See, if I remember correctly, this movie was billed pretty high too. If I remember, like when it was released, because it was in theaters, I remember that. Wasn't this movie supposed to be a fairly big deal when it was released?
Well, it was playing off of the same kind of advertising stuff that you would see in like Kiss the Girls or Along Came the Spider.
Mm.
But yeah, not as good as those two.
Yeah.
You know, those sort of, what's that cat's name? Not Jack Ryan, the guy, the detective.
I know who you're talking about.
It was
Tyler
really going
Perry,
with that kind of an angle.
Wasn't that the one that Tyler Perry played a version of him?
Yes.
Yeah. I know who you're talking
about. Yes. I'll think of it later, but nice to see Val Kilmer and Christian Slater share a screen for 5 seconds together again.
It actually was. I actually do. Like
Not
I said,
since
I do like
True Romance, right?
It's probably about that. There might have been. There could be an indie movie they did together.
No, I don't think they did.
I doubt it.
I think Ryan's right.
True Romance. For those who don't know, Val Kilmer played Elvis Presley.
Yeah, he did that. He did. It's better than nipples on a bat suit.
Honestly, Val Kilmer still does. In one of my all-time favorite biopics is the one about the Doors.
Yeah,
that was one of the best ones I've seen, just because of it looks like him.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he really kind of embodied that role pretty good.
Yeah, he did. He's actually, you know, I really got to give it to him. I mean, he actually is one of the best actors that came out of the out of that era.
I would say he's underappreciated, especially as that Doc Holliday role, because you easily could have
my favorite role of his.
Because my favorite line in that movie is still, you know, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah,
and I could easily have played that two ways. Back in the day, they had a Western. I think it was George O'Brien, something O'Brien. He was in there, and Doc Holliday in that one was an old guy, which, A, he lived to be 32, wouldn't have been old. And it just didn't seem sick. I loved the version of that one because of the way he played it. So I really am a big fan of Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
My favorite line from Tombstone was from Billy Bob Thornton, though.
What was the line?
I feel like I'm playing cards with my sister's kids or something.
Oh yeah,
I always got to give it to Billy Bob Thornton in that one for that. He did a great job.
Nobody recognized him because he put on like 45 pounds for that shit.
Yeah, and then
it's like Sylvester Stallone in Copland. And we have to do a double take.
God, why am I drawing a blank on the guy's name? He died like 2 months ago, and he was one of the best bad guys. He was in Deadwood. What the hell?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Powers Booth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Booth Powers.
And that's one of my all-time favorite roles of his is from Tombstone, too. He did a fantastic job in that
role. Right. Yeah,
People really underestimate how great of a bad guy he is.
See, I wish...
Oh, Powers Booth is the best just for the voice alone.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when was this released?
All right, I was saying 05, Mindhunters.
Because
Mindhunters, yeah, 05.
Because I'm wondering when the time of it was released. Because depending, my thought was it could be the early summer blockbuster, or it could have been the tradition, the February, January to like March, when they don't really, those are all the crappy movies that they overhype. They dump it then because nobody's really going to see them.
Actually, it was 4 months ago.
So I'm curious on when they released it, because it really tells you what type of movie it are going to be. I think Ryan's totally right. This was a movie that was playing off movies at the time, and it just didn't live up.
Yeah, and he's right. Kiss the Girls and Along Came the Spider were just right before this.
And it was all the same kind of thing. You only had to say, hey, look, it's a suspense thriller.
Now, did Val Kilmer, was his role just like Steven Seagal's An Executive Decision? It was like a 3-second role before he died type of thing or disappeared?
I mean, well, it was a 3-second role before he kind of just let him go on. Well, yeah, Christian Slater was you know, you killed off the character that I liked a lot. Yeah. And the only one that seemed like he was like reading lines from a decent movie. Everyone else was like reading shit from a high school play or something.
You know, no, please do not do that.
You know, it was kind of funny though. Val Kilmer's speech in the beginning of the film, that whole thing, you know what it reminded me of? One of John's favorite movies.
What?
Not the Weird Science one, but the one that he plays the high school or the college.
Real Genius?
Yeah, Real Genius. That's what it reminded me of. He was playing the Real Genius role as an FBI instructor. That's what it was to me.
See, that's what I would totally do if I was an actor. I would just play the same character in every single movie. You know, I think it'd be hilarious. He'd
just be kind of like trolling people. Exactly. I mean, that's like Steven Seagal, though. He's already got you beat on it.
Well, the difference is Steven Seagal is doing it seriously and just realizing he's being comedic.
No, so you remember the Prestige?
Yeah.
Where they're looking at the Asian guy, and they finally realize the act is the Asian guy walking around during the day and living the role completely. That's Steven Seagal. He bought into his own shit, and he actually thinks he is a badass.
So what do you give Mindhunter?
I gave it a 2.
So, so your final is a 2?
Yeah, and that's Ryan? Only because I look at it as Battle Royale for FBI agents.
You still giving it a 2?
Yeah, I'm 2.5. Because if you're in the mood for just kind of a shitty movie, you know, the director of this movie, Renny Harlin, you almost can't go wrong with him if you're looking for kind of a shitty movie. This guy is known for shitty movies.
I really didn't
movies.
Look his resume up.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
we do...
Well, let me give you a little preview on what this guy's
report. Oh, my God, Die Harder? Cliffhanger?
Yeah, Die Hard.
Deep Blue Sea?
Hey,
I liked
Cliffhanger.
No, he did Deep Blue Sea, dude.
There's no excuse for that.
He did do Long Kiss Goodnight, and I actually do like that movie, but it's not great. I like it because Gina Davis and Sam Jackson running around together.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously he picks up
LL
Cool J from Deep Blue Sea.
Dude, he did Exorcist
you know,
the Beginning in 2004 too. Really? And my God, you did The Covenant too? Oh my God.
Yeah, and Cutthroat Island, that piece of shit. Dude.
Wait, that's the one with Gina. Wait, Cutthroat Island with Gina Davis,
did
right?
This one. Do you ever see this one?
Right.
No.
Oh my
I
God,
liked
oh,
that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, Cutthroat Island with Gina Davis.
But that movie definitely was not a good movie.
Yeah, they give him direction of the Die Hard franchise and makes just an embarrassing movie as far as I'm concerned.
Did he do the one with Justin Long? Die Hard 4?
No, he did Die 2, Die Harder.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one with the airplanes and the like every shitty 90s actor ever.
Okay. Oh, wow. So he did
Did you look down at some of his kind of movies that he broke out of in the 80s? Did you go down that far?
Let's see. Oh, yeah.
He did The Dream Master.
Oh,
he did
shit,
Nightmare
really?
On Elm Street 4.
Oh, shit.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
I understand why that movie is the way it is.
So,
now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. You go to facebook.com/RealFlixReviews. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher.
I got one more thing to say about this director. You know, I think he does this shit on purpose. You're an M. Night Shyamalan-y dipshit on purpose.
Honestly,
I think you are. One of his first movies that he did that wasn't a short was Nightmare on Elm Street 4. It's on purpose, dude.
Oh, look at Michael Bay. He even said it. He makes movies for teenage boys. So if you can get paid for doing crappy movies, why not?
I don't blame him. And you really did like Cliffhanger?
Yeah, sure.
What's that?
You really did like Cliffhanger?
I thought it was an entertaining movie. I didn't say it was good.
Okay.
I liked it.
No, Cliffhanger is not good, but it is absolutely entertaining.
And I do have to agree with Ryan. The Long Kiss Goodnight actually is an entertaining movie.
So on some
that
of the
is an entertaining movie.
On
yeah.
some of the movie
but
news.
For Sam Jackson, because anytime somebody is kind of doing their own thing, because Sam Jackson always does his own thing, then it's fine. Christian Slater kind of doing his own thing. It seemed like it was all his attitude. And he probably was kind of throwing in his own little, you know, rewritten lines, I bet. But
so wait.
I can't
think of Christian Slater without thinking of the movie The Legend of Billie Jean every time.
Well, I want to throw this out at it, Ryan. So Samuel Jackson was doing his own thing when he was playing around with Jamie Foxx's balls?
No, because you don't do your own thing when you're doing Tarantino.
No, you do Tarantino. You don't have
that out there for him.
You don't do your own thing when you're doing a Tarantino movie. You fucking read the goddamn words on the screen on the page.
So I didn't end up posting movie news to the Facebook page this week like I normally do because
having a kind of busy week, John. And
my week has been insane. There's a couple of things I did post last week that I thought were like fascinating. Allegedly, there might be a Pacific Rim and Godzilla King Kong to cross over.
Wait. They're doing a Pacific Rim King Kong.
They don't.
Why wouldn't they do a Godzilla? King Kong and Pacific Rim wouldn't be in the same universe.
It
makes sense if it was Godzilla.
They don't really explain it a whole lot, but I'm thinking. I remember the crossover cartoons where they had like G.I. Joe and Transformers, so this might be like, like Jason versus Freddy at just a one shot.
But I mean, wouldn't they be able to put the market together better if they're doing live action mecha with Godzilla? I mean, that would be perfect for the Japanese audience, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there, guys. Like, why would you pick King Kong over Godzilla?
I just think it's hilarious. To
me, I want to see the King Kong Godzilla movie because I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim was trying to be
mecha
something
anime.
That I didn't think it got. You know, like
it was
trying
to be mecha anime. I'm just putting that out there. It's literally what it was.
It was lame and dumb.
I didn't like it. John did.
I like Pacific Rim.
He likes mecha anime. But
if you look at Guillermo del Toro, I mean, you can obviously tell he's a fan of anime. So that's totally what he was going for.
Well, I'm not arguing that point. I mean, I do enjoy Guillermo del Toro because he does have that type of repertoire.
There were some cool parts. There was some.
Where the hell's Pinocchio?
Pacific Rim, good visual effects.
Where's Pinocchio?
But you can't.
I want Pinocchio.
What? Oh, I know, dude. Seriously, where the fuck is Pinocchio?
It'll never happen. That's, you know, it'll be like Wind Talkers. Like, I remember the Nick Cage Wind Talker movie was supposed to come out like 15 years before it actually did, and nobody wanted to see it.
I haven't brought this up. So, what was it, like months ago, I brought up the thing that they were teasing that Invader Zim was going to be making a return. That is not. Johan Vasquez has actually put out that's another lie that comes out, and he's disputed it. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's the same thing. Pinocchio being coming out by Guillermo del Toro's vision, and that it's just messy with fans.
I do have a favorite. Instead of doing, like...
Go back to killing Jackie Chan.
Instead of doing Pinocchio, can you just do American McGee's Alice instead? I'd be much more interested in his take on Alice in Wonderland than I would on his take of Pinocchio.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think you could do American McGee's Alice. I think he could do it justice and have a pretty decent transition in between mediums.
I don't think that people are going to be redoing that movie the same way. You know, it's not Batman. You know, where the character can go in so many different directions. You know, they're not going to keep remaking it. I think they took elements from that one and then tried to pepper it in with the ones that they made.
Like
and it
Pinocchio?
Just didn't. Like Pinocchio.
I mean, like, which one? What are you talking about? American McGee's
like,
Alice?
Well, the McGee, what was that? Madness Returns?
Yeah. Well, that was the second
one. Yeah. Oh, okay. What was the first one called?
American McGee's Alice in Wonderland or something like that. If I could have been Madness Returns. I just, there was two of them. The first one was the only good one. The second one sucked.
But in any case, you couldn't just do that, you know, full bore, let's do this, you know, and turn it into a story. I think all the directors and writers who would get a hold of something like that are thinking like, well, I don't want to remake this guy's thing. I just want to take a couple of these little pieces from it and make my own thing.
Well, I think if he took the general direction, like Alice, because the cool thing about American McGee's Alice is the fact that she's in a mental institution, her family burned to death, blah, blah, blah. I think you could take the overall story and I think you could do it fairly well. A very dark tale, but everybody who's done a dark tale of Alice in Wonderland has always made it a stupid horror movie. I think like Guillermo could do it justice and give it enough horror spin without being cheesy, and that's usually what it turns into.
Yeah. So I actually have a little bit of news that was actually released today. So how excited are you guys for Westworld season 2?
I'm about to watch the first season again just to make sure I'm all caught up.
So Westworld has closed its doors for a spell of unscheduled maintenance for season 2 because, hold on, one of the reoccurring actors has, this is what they said, quote-unquote, medical emergency.
Damn.
So one of the major players in the act, they haven't released which actor. I'm really hoping it's not Anthony Hopkins. I would really hate to see him go. Had some injury between takes and had to recover.
Oh, and a bit of movie news. It's actually TV news. House of Cards was canceled officially, even though rumor has it was going to end on season 6 anyways.
I don't really care. I mean, I really didn't like that show, I got to be honest. I watched a few more after we did the thing.
I liked the first season. I didn't like anything after that.
Yeah.
But this is the thing I was talking about where I think the sex scandals are going to start affecting actors more. I'm not really surprised about Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about it for last week or week before. I wasn't saying that it wasn't going to affect actors. You know, it absolutely should and will affect individual people. Just the industry as a whole will obviously keep on ticking.
I think at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to make them more picky. I don't know. I just have a feeling they're gonna try to vet people more, especially something like Netflix.
Who's them?
Well, the producers.
Well, sure.
The producers, like, the people who buy the show.
Don't give a shit.
Well, for example,
the distributors care because they're the ones who got to make money on the back end.
The producers and directors will care to some degree when they spend a lot of money making a TV show and nobody picks it up.
Not their money.
So the creative.
That's why it's the distributors. It's the production houses. The people with boardrooms full of people who need to see profit.
Those people are the only ones
who are going to care. Yeah. The only thing that it will affect is that these people who do this, these individuals, will not be able to find work.
Yeah. That's actually what I was just going to report on.
Don't fuck kids.
So the Creative Artist Agency, which is one of the biggest guild rep companies for Hollywood, has booted Kevin Spacey.
Really?
Yeah, that actually was reported like an hour ago. They've dropped him and will not represent him.
The interesting thing about this, and I find this interesting because it's from 30 years ago and it was alleged to happen. Granted, the dude was a kid. I find that interesting. But on the other hand, I doubt there's any evidence like you would. Like Harvey Weinstein, there's enough people who could make it happen.
The Weinstein thing was obviously a little more recent. There's a lot of things that set a precedent back in the day that are still happening today. This happened 30 years ago, but despite being drunk, we've all been drunk. I'm pretty sure I can vouch for you two on that. The three of us, I'm pretty sure, have never thought, hey, let's go bang a kid.
My favorite comment was, whether you like him or hate him, Milo Yiannopoulos had the greatest comment on this of all time. He said, I'm gay and I've been drunk, and I've never wanted to do that.
You know what? I saw that and it made me like physically ill and angry because talk about the pot in the fucking kettle, Milo.
Well, that's
like this asshole was the one that was out there like basically saying that pederasty was okay. Did everybody forget about that?
No.
Well, first of all, that's kind of his shtick.
Apparently, he fucking forgot about it.
Well, honestly,
he was drunk.
That's his shtick, though. That really is. He's a hypocrite.
Yeah,
that's part of his shtick.
Well, he's a douchebag, and that's a shitty shtick.
No argument. I am curious to see what other actors are affected. I mean, because this is like Arnold Schwarzenegger has been allegedly been this type of person for years. It's going to be interesting to see the fallout because I never thought Kevin Spacey really, but if people said, oh, he did this, it's also like, oh, he's a Hollywood guy. Not really surprised. So I'm really curious.
So I got to admit something. Usually I'm not bothered by seeing, like if I'm watching, I guess, TNG, Star Trek The Next Generation for people who are dumb. And I see Whoopi Goldberg on there acting, that role, I can kind of forgive how stupid she is in that and kind of just blow that off. But I gotta admit, I was watching. So there's another show that Netflix released the same time they put out Stranger Things season 2, and this one kind of fell on the wayside. But I picked it up and actually started watching it. Is The Mist? Now, if you guys don't know what that is, it's a Stephen King novel.
Was that the one with Mark?
I was gonna say yes. About the book.
Yes, it's about the book, but it's a TV show put out and produced by Netflix. But it's also put out by Harvey Weinstein as well. And his name's on the credits in the beginning. And I kept on seeing him. I'm just like, I wonder how long they're going to keep that up before they take it down. But it wasn't like I didn't want to watch the show because, I like the movie. This one, I'm going to pick for after we watch lore.
They've got to be changing the name because there's so much negative connotativity. Right now, that name is so damaged. Even if they put out a lot of,
but you can't go back and start changing credits.
Yeah, you can't.
You simply can't do it. But here's the thing: it affects that individual. But there's so many people who work on an individual project, a movie or whatever,
or a show.
Hundreds and hundreds of people from the writers down to the key grip.
I was hoping you were going to say
and
grips.
The nephew, yeah, the nephew and best boy. Of the key grip who's getting everybody coffee.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who rely on these movies doing well that have a stake in it doing well.
Yeah.
So ruining that one person's life, I think, is perfect. Letting the industry continue on as if this guy never existed, I think, is perfect.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see it in the next couple of months to a year. You're going to see a press release saying the Weinstein Company, in the best interest of it, blah, 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 has decided to change its name to insert thing here. Or they're going to completely sell it off. I think what they're going to do, because they had an independent company out there for finances, I think they're going to end up selling it. It's going to be renamed. It's going to be the same company, the same movies, just a different thing. Because I think they have to.
Is, and I'm going to put these out there as some of Hollywood's biggest mistakes, and it's really going to highlight Spielberg and Lucas. They got ripped apart by the internet when they changed the guns from E.T. to walkie-talkies.
Yes.
And got ripped apart by the internet by putting the freaking, what was it, Backstreet Boy or NSYNC faggot in the Star Trek, or Star Wars, not Star Trek, Star Wars.
Wow,
they got ripped apart by that.
Jeez.
And so I doubt they're going to go back to films like way back, you know, that Harvey Weinstein did 20, 30 years ago and be like, okay, we're just going to remove his name from the credits.
I would say the difference, especially in the E.T. one and other things, is there were people like us. There were fans of the original content. There are people like me who are very purist on the content, like don't – so – they're not the majority. They're definitely in the minority. Most people care until sexual harassment happens.
That's true.
Well, here's the thing, man, Americans and people in general are very good about kind of compartmentalizing their thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people in history who have given us amazing things that are complete pieces of shit, okay? The whole thing about Christopher Columbus, that guy was an absolute maniac.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Holidays and all this stuff. The stories about this dude, if you don't know how much of a psychopath he was, go and read some current shit on Christopher Columbus. It'll blow your fucking hair back.
You don't have to read that current shit from 30 years ago.
Sure, exactly. Wernher von Braun, okay? The guy who gave us the rocket, essentially. You know, like modern-day rockets helped us get to the moon and things, would be tried for war crimes if he was alive today.
Harvey Weinstein should have been tried for war crimes at the time, people.
He should have been charged with war crimes at the time, but we needed him at the time, so we let it go.
And let's not even get to the genetic stuff from the Nazis, too. Which
yeah, look up Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, but the eugenics, they got the idea from us.
They certainly did. Yeah, the eugenics was not a Nazi thing. They certainly did. But here's my point, though. Harvey Weinstein has made some fucking amazing movies.
Yeah. I wouldn't say paid.
This is why I think the core of the company still exists. It's going to exist, just not under the Weinstein name, and that's as it should be. It's tainted. Hollywood's all about money, and when it's tainted this bad, and the only reason why I say it's tainted is because when when it's sexual harassment, when it's racism, there's a few key things that if you do, you have to give up, you have to change. So it's going to be, they're just going to re-spin the company as something else. And a couple of years later, everybody's going to forget about, hey, this was the Weinstein company.
I absolutely agree. And here's the thing is that nobody sits there watching a movie, okay, and in the beginning sees Roadhouse Pictures and says, Roadhouse, fuck this, and then gets up and leaves.
Well, let me just throw this
out there. Nobody does that.
I actually looked it up just to give myself an idea of how many films he did. I knew it was in the hundreds. He has produced 329 films.
And some of them are pulp fucking fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction, Gaze of New York, Shakespeare in Love. I mean, there's a lot of films that he has done that were major blockbusters that did a lot for the industry, people. Like, so, I mean, I'm not saying that excuses him from anything.
People whose careers that he's made.
Yeah.
Well, this is just like this is what like
Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction. Right, come on.
Well, sorry, I was just gonna say this is just like you know we've been saying here. You know, even though he made good movies, you can make amazing movies and still being a complete asshole
and piece of shit.
Yeah. So it's nothing new.
Yeah,
you can still
ruin your life from now on based off of shit that you did in your past. Hey, you know what? Thanks for the movies. Fuck off now.
Yeah.
You know
that's how I feel about him.
Really, What? I'll tell you what I was really proud for was Kevin Smith coming out saying that he was going to be donating all of his residuals I can't remember what particular organization, but I think it was to help women victims of sexual abuse.
Was it permanently or is it for like a short period of time? I thought it was only for a period of time.
I wanted to say it was going to be
like a year
for a couple of particular movies in perpetuity.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
But I mean, he was devastated. You know, that's somebody whose career was made from Miramax.
He did one of
his Harvey Weinstein gave this dude his career.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
but even then, no matter how much he did for him, Kevin Smith came out practically almost in tears saying, I can't even fucking believe what I just heard.
Yeah.
So this is definitely, I think this is good for Hollywood personally, because this is something that, and this is kind of, we're going to give a final round of statements and hopefully we'll put this to rest on the show, is I think this is good for Hollywood. There's always been rumors of the casting couch. If you look what they did to the woman who played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, if you take a look what they did to Shirley Temple and later actresses, this is something that's been happening since the beginning. This is good for Hollywood. Let it air. It's dirty laundry. And hopefully,
I want to throw this out there people who aren't familiar with that term that we keep using is casting couch. If you guys don't know what that term is, this term goes way back before the internet was even out. It's almost as old as the porn industry, people. That these rumors have been going on that producers and directors and basically major Hollywood stars have had this back. I would even say it goes back to like Marilyn Monroe days, how old
honestly,
this term is.
Well, look, it's that scene from Fame. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where she has to take her top off, you know, more or less say, hey, you want to be famous, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know, this is the price of admission.
It's been happening since the beginning.
But it's also been happening. See, to me, this isn't good for Hollywood. This is good for fucking humanity.
That
just like, you know what, in any industry, you know, Hollywood being the public industry, of course, because obviously most corporations aren't hanging their balls out there like that. No pun intended, but they're,
God.
They're able to throw these things into the forefront because it's such a public forum that they're involved in. But I think this is going to be good for all corporations and big companies like this, any position of power who thinks that they can take advantage of people.
And no, I agree. And I think this is going to be good for Hollywood. I think it's because I'm focused on Hollywood. I do actually agree that it's going to be good for everybody. And, it, you know, life will move on. Movies will still be made. But hopefully it'll come to a point where women, boys, or whoever don't get raped to get a role type of thing.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. And my I guess only grievance is just singling out Hollywood as it's some kind of evil organization because these things happen.
Well, the only reason I say Hollywood is because it's so, like, believe it, if you actually think about it, how much Hollywood, broad brushstrokes, ladies and gentlemen, like how much Hollywood touches is you go home at night, watch a TV show, that's Hollywood. And so Hollywood in some form or another touches everybody. So that's the only reason why I'm using such broad brushstrokes, because I don't think you can go a single day without seeing, touching, or smelling something that Hollywood broad brushstrokes is involved in some way.
Yeah.
Well, sure, but also it's not just Hollywood quote. It's the New York film industry. Atlanta's got a crazy good film industry. Canada,
well,
Ontario,
Canada
BBC.
You know, I actually let me preference something because Ryan's right. When I say Hollywood, I meant like the entire film industry. Because Hollywood is really a verb at this point. But no, Ryan's right. It's like New Zealand, for example. A lot of the Power Ranger TV shows were actually shot in New Zealand versus anywhere else. So
Kiwis.
No, I agree. I'm using it as a general term for the film industry.
Well, I mean that is as
but
things have progressed. That actually is Hollywood. When you say Hollywood, it encompasses everything. I would even throw Bollywood into Hollywood these days, is because of how big it is now.
But these
last
companies,
comment.
By and large, are very very good. People, very sort of altruistic people to a certain extent. I mean, a lot of these companies will, you know, give heavily to charities, or they'll film in places and you know, bring a lot of industry to these, you know, small towns.
Yeah.
You know, we I don't want to demonize an industry for the actions of a handful of people that decided to use that industry to their benefit.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're at some point. This is definitely not coming to rest
by quite a bit.
We're going to have to talk about this again, maybe on next week's show. This might be a continuing conversation because obviously it is in Hollywood.
There's a lot that goes into it.
And Real Flix Reviews is kind of a reflection of what it's happening in Hollywood. Next week is Theater Pick.
Yeah,
and we're going to pick.
We're going to roll with it. Yeah.
It'll be the remake, not the original. And is there a TV show?
I teased the lore last week, and we didn't get to it, so we're going to continue on with lore, season one, episode one.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.